Grainmaker.
Welcome everyone to the Grainmaker Wrestling Podcast, a Prairie Proud Wrestling Podcast covering everything from Winnipeg to worldwide. My name is Blair Pacheco. I hope you're doing well. Hope you're having a great day, evening, weekend, whatever it is you're sitting down to listen to this. And we are back. I had a little bit of, you know, I think it was a week and a half off. It was one of those things where life just got busy. There was a lot going on. I mean, I think I did three podcasts. I recorded three in a week, dropped all of those, had commentary for WPW two nights, and that just took up a lot of time. And like coming out of that afterwards, like I was pretty drained, and I needed to take a step back just to kind of recharge, reset, and then come back full steam ahead. Like we're alive, we're kicking, and I'm excited to be back doing stuff, recording episodes, and I'm stoked for this week. This week, my guest, I've had the chance to talk to him a couple times in person and as a part of For Exposure, the weekly YouTube show I do with my good friend Pluggo, which you can find up on the Love Wrestling YouTube page, where we take a look at the world of independent wrestling. Well, I've had my guest on there a few times where we've promoted and previewed the upcoming LPW events. And this week they are here on the Grainmaker Wrestling Podcast to talk wrestling, to have a little bit of fun. Joining me this week is the newest member of the LPW commentary team, full-time, Dash. Dash, how's it going?
Blair, I am pretty fantastic, and I'm on your podcast, so how could I be any better, really? Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, I'm glad. I mean, it's something we had talked about for a while, and I had not forgotten about you, and then I was like, yeah, we're going to do it, and after a little bit of time, here we are. So let's start off with, how did you become a part of the team? Because I know you started off doing some of the Thursday night, the clandestine LPW shows, and now you're full-time commentary for the Thursday and Friday. So how did it all work out?
Man, it's gone by in a flash. It has, for real. I just want to start off by saying, like, I'm a little disappointed because I thought you said we were going tarps off for this. So I don't know if it was, you know, how many likes we got to get to, but it's a little disappointed.
We'll wait for that for Four Exposure.
All right. Tuning in an hour. buddy, it was, first things first, it's a bloody dream come true. Like, this really is. It's like, I've been a lifelong wrestling fan and loved every bit of wrestling I've ever watched, whether it's like car crash indie or 40 guys in a hall watching Monster Pro Wrestling in Edmonton, you know, and could never really get away from it my entire life, and always had this itch and always had this. And, you know, I've run into enough friends over the years where, you know, they were part of a promotion or dabbled in wrestling a little bit. And I swear I would always shoot my shot and just, you know, hey, do you need any help doing this? Do you need any help doing that? And it just never really panned out. Cause as you know, in this business, you kind of gotta, I don't know. It helps who you know. And yes, you know, there's a lot of, paying your dues, if that's an old school way to say it. Right. And, you know, not like anybody's getting bullied or anything like that, but it's just, there's a matter of respect and showing, appreciation for those that paved the way before you, kind of type thing. And, so for me, it was another time where I shot my shot. Love Pro Wrestling, as we know, is owned and operated and promoted by Spencer Love. And, we got to know each other because, if you see my podcasting name or my hockey podcasting name on the Heavy Hockey Network is Dash in the Park. And I'm Dash in the Park because I live in Sherwood Park, Alberta. And we're a suburb of Edmonton. So, you know, we're proud we're in the burbs and we're not from Edmonton. We're from Sherwood Park, right? So it's that kind of thing. So Dash in the Park, and I'm a Sherwood Park Crusaders season ticket holder. Spencer, in his shoot job, runs the Sherwood Park Crusaders. So I got to know Spencer through being a season ticket holder. I knew who he was, and maybe it was a targeted friendship, if you will, but the first time we met, we just really hit it off and decided to just kind of get together more often. And, the more we talked, the more we realized we just had a lot in common and a lot of similar values and morals and integrity. And as you know, and, you know, Spencer will scream at the top of his lungs for anybody that wants to hear it, but everybody and anybody at Love Pro Wrestling is, of a certain culture and of a certain ilk where, you know, higher tides float all boats. And, and we're all pulling the same rope there, and it has to be that way. And it was something that I was really attracted to and recognized right away. So, you know what, it just came down to shooting my shot and taking him out for a couple of drinks one night, and maybe it was too many drinks. They said yes. But I just, you know, I can't get in the ring and be a trained wrestler. And I'm not sure if you've ever been to any training, Blair, or anything in your life. We've never really talked about that because you've just been so helpful helping me with commentating, which maybe we'll get into. But thank you for that, because you've been an inspiration and very supportive as well. I just asked Spencer, can I, you know, there's a bunch of guys that can run around in a ring and have all that athleticism and talent in the world, and I can't do that. But a lot of them don't have 20 years experience on a mic, and mm-hmm. and I do. And, you know, there's something to be said about that. And I'd love to commentate or ring announce or anything just to be a part of it. I just have always dreamed to want to be part of a promotion. And Spencer has this policy for Thursday nights on the Thursday Night Clandestine show that he'll pretty much give anybody a shot.
Yeah.
You know, you've been in that chair. I've been in that chair. If you were watching closely enough, 2 months ago, they pulled a kid out of the front row that was 7 years old, and he did some ring announcing. So, you know, that's just kind of the giving back kind of attitude that Spencer has. And I think, you know, if you can do something and you're somewhat successful at it and you can fit into that idealistic culture that Love Pro Wrestling has, then they'll find a spot for you. And they did. I was doing ring security. I was the guy carrying the sweaty gear to the back for a while. I was, you know, just picking up the belts and taking them back to Gorilla, and got my way onto the mic a few months later. And a few months later, I think I actually somehow got Boris to like me. And that's a tough gig, I understand, because
it is.
I was warned probably four times before I started, you know, like, pay your dues and respect Boris and follow his lead. And right, there's been people that have been in that chair and not invited back, but I got invited back. And honest to God, it was, you know, 2 or 3 months after sitting in that chair together and us getting together in our private time and chatting and some of his advice. And I know he likes to say he stripped me down and built me back up, and he did. And we can get into that if you want, but ultimately, he asked me back, and so I put in the work. I went back and watched the entire LPW library, wanted to know all the storylines as deeply as I could. And just in doing that, it honestly made me fall back in love with independent pro wrestling even deeper than I always had been. And I'd been a PWA fan. I'd been an LPWA fan. I've been to Monster Pro. I've been to RCW through the years. And I've followed all of these guys, and I've been fans of all of them. So I don't know, to have all of this culminate is just, it's still a bit of a pinch me moment, to be honest, dude.
I'll ask, because I mean, I know when I first started going to shows, like, I was enamored by it, you know, like, independent wrestling was just, it was something very cool, because it's like, you know, you're getting monthly shows or shows every 3 weeks, whatever it might be. And it's, you know, local guys, you might get a couple guys brought in from out of town, but it's just guys who, it's their weekend thing, you know, just having fun. And I loved it. And I remember, I think I've told the story before on the podcast, but there was a promotion here. I would go see their shows. And I went up to the owner, and I straight up said, like, you know what? I love everything you guys are doing. If there's any way I could help out, even if it's volunteering, I would love to do that. And, you know, he's like, yeah, email me. And I sent that email, and I was so stoked that I never got a response. And I always, like, I knew it was part of that, like, because, like, there is a thing where, you know, coming up with wrestling, you know, like, if you know someone, it's going to make your life a whole lot easier if you haven't been trained in wrestling, if you're not a part of everything. Yeah. And that was something, like, I'll admit, like, it was something I held on to, because, like, okay, that was, you know, 6-7 years ago, but I kept that close, and I was like, I'll do something involved with wrestling. And eventually this podcast came to form. I've been able to do my own thing, but, like, I wasn't given a shot then, but, like, I was sure as hell going to make sure that I was going to be a part of it one way or another. So I do understand where you're coming from. But with that said, like, when you're putting yourself out there at first, trying to get involved, like, how did you keep from giving up? Because it's so easy to get discouraged when there's something you really want to be a part of and you're not given those opportunities.
I tend to have a coping mechanism where I just throw my pen in the ring. I'm not sure if you heard that story or not, but Trust me, I wanted to give up that night. I really did. And Boris looked at me and started laughing at me and told me to get my goddamn headphones back on. I don't know, man, whatever. It's, you know, I'm going to sit there and teach my kids to never give up. I'm going to tell them that they, you know, can't be in their vocabulary. Right. So, I've put myself out there my whole life. I've been emceeing weddings my whole life. I've got our own podcast on the Heavy Hockey Network. We call Oilers Live. We have a radio show on Edmonton Sports Talk, which is the most popular radio show in, honestly, probably Western Canada when it comes to hockey, but Edmonton for sure. So just been out there enough and live or taped or whatever that, you know, you're going to make your mistakes and it's going to happen. Ultimately, nobody's perfect, except for Boris. And that's, you know, not easy sitting beside him sometimes because he's just so goddamn good. He's so smooth and he's just got so many ways to paint the picture for the audience, right? And I mean, he keeps reminding me, look, buddy, I got 20 years experience in doing this for 5 months. So, you know, and I guess I take solace in that, but that doesn't mean the pressure's not there. You know, maybe it's an athlete background, whatever. I've always kind of been that perform under pressure person. I'm probably a really poor, I'm a bad procrastinator as well. And, you know, even in finals in school, leave it all up to the last minute and cram and seemed to always kind of survive that way. So this just be kind of became another way to do it, but it's not lost on me that the fact that, you know, Love Pro Wrestling is, it's the upper echelon. It's the cream of the crop when it comes to pro wrestling independent around here. Right. And so here I get to go and sit beside a PWA Hall of Famer, a guy that's been doing this for 20 years. If arguably one of the best in Canada, if not maybe the best in Canada, no offense. And I get to learn from him and sit beside him and call like the best bunch of wrestlers and right. Like my first big event I ever do is at Rogers Place.
Yeah.
Right. And then my third event, I'm on the poster on a event that has Speedball and Nicole Matthews and Artemis Spencer and Alan Angels. And oh man, I'm missing four other huge names at that show. Like it, right. Like it's just surreal sometimes. So, I mean, the fact that I got immersed right into it and got to shoot my shot and got to sit in that mic and work on it, forced me to put the work in too. Like, I mean, I keep saying that, but I feel like I've earned my spot. I don't think Spencer would have ever put me on the Friday show if I hadn't. And, Boris and I do a lot together, right? Like we hang out a lot now. I talk to him more than a lot of the most important people in my life. And, you know, that's tear you down and build you back up. Like, anybody that gets in front of a mic might think that they can commentate wrestling, right? How tough can it be, Blair? Right? They're just punching each other in the mouth and throwing each other around, right?
People will think that it can't be that difficult, but as soon as you're sitting there and the pressure is on and you have to not say, you have to find different vocabulary for words. You cannot be using the same one because if you notice that you've said it a few times, other people are going to notice. And I know that is something that like, I'll go back afterwards and be like, fuck, why did I have to say that so much? And like, it's, you get like that thing later on where you're just like, you beat yourself up over it, you know? And it's, it is what it is, you know, but it's like, it isn't as easy as people think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there was one match afterwards. I think Boris said, how many times do you think you said telegraphed? But it was like, I think it was, oh, you know what it was? It was TFA versus Stephen Crow for the clandestine title. Right? Ride or die fighting each other. And like, they just kept wrestling chess. It was just like counter for counter for counter for counter for counter for counter. And how many times can you say the word well telegraphed and counter in a match, right? Yeah, but you're right. Absolutely. I can barely listen to myself when that match comes back now, because it's like, oh, buddy, like, why did you do that?
Yeah.
Hard part for me is like, I've become really good friends with a few of these people too. And I'm getting to a point where I don't want to know their shoot names because it's right. Like, yeah. If you know the story or you don't, right. Like, you know, Rich King has a shoot name that's very close to Rich King. And he's also my personal trainer in my real life. And he's also one of the first people that I knew in Edmonton independent wrestling. My cousin's his accountant. And like, he drugged me to Munster Pro Wrestling to watch Rich's debut. Like I've been watching Rich since his very first match in Edmonton and watched him grow. And, you know, like sitting there calling the first one-on-one match I had to, and of course I slip his shoot name. Of course I would, because it's just like, it's off the tip of my tongue three times a week. And yeah, you know, of course I get mad at myself because not only did I do it once, Blair, 20 seconds later, how does your subconscious work? Fuck you, Freudian slip, because there it came again.
Of course.
Boom. And so I hammer the pen. I meant to just throw it down on the announce table and have a crybaby like temper tantrum. That's all I wanted to do. And that fucking pen bounced 8 feet in the air and like lands right beside them while Rich is giving him an abdominal stretch or something like that. Like Bay Rat looks at me from the ring like, what is this? The commentator brings the foreign object match?
Come on, bro. What's going on?
Yeah, like Garvey hucks the pen out of the fucking ring. I'm just like, oh my God, did I really just do that? So yeah, like I've already committed the cardinal sin.
Yeah.
Right. I've already made the biggest mistakes I can make. So really it can only get better from here. And Boris keeps asking me back. So God damn it, I'm going to keep coming back.
You mentioned kind of with Boris, like stripping you down, building you back up again. And I wanted to talk about that because it's something that coming into a world like professional wrestling, that it's so easy to take things personal or have your own mindset. So you have to be very open in that sort of instance, you know, like you have to realize that like, hey, the advice he's going to be giving me, it is to help benefit everyone here. For yourself, what was that experience like?
Eye-opening for sure. You know, and I think ultimately just a peek into behind the curtain, if you want to use a cliche, because, you know, like I'm a natural smartass. Like, wind me up. Trust me. You know, I've lived with a filter my entire life. Like, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. So I almost feel like, you know, I've, you and I were talking briefly before we came on air here. I've been a heat seeker my whole life. Like I love being that smartass. I love, you know, I was the class clown in high school and I was, you know, always trying to get a pop, if you will. Right. And so I think in part of that, it was, oh, I just can go and be funny and be an asshole and get in front of a mic and be a smartass. And that's the best way to do it. You know, that's, I'll be great at this, but this tear you down and strip you, build you back up part became, that's not what you do. First things first, Ash. We are a voice to paint a picture for an audience. And honestly, that is it. Really, that's it. Mm-hmm. And at any point in time, right, there was little bits of like the first time I said Suplex City, like Boris stared at me. Like that's a WWE term. That's a WWE wrestler's, you know, slogan. Mars isn't taking anybody to Suplex City, right? Mars is performing German suplexes that Mars the Specialist does.
Yeah.
This isn't about Brock Lesnar right now. This is about Mars the Specialist. Little cues and little things like that, like how easy it is to call something by the WWE name. I had all these grand ideas about Boris and I just fighting with each other the entire time, right? Like, let's create conflict and I'm going to call you Horace by accident all the time and just be disrespectful. And immediately like, no, it's not about us. We're not getting ourselves over. We're getting those guys over in the ring. It has nothing to do with you and me. Like if that comes up naturally through, you know, our differences in opinions, because we see the world differently, because we see the ring differently, because we see wrestling differently, because we view integrity differently, that's where our conflict will be created, through that chemistry, not created through punchlines that are written.
Yeah, it has ultimately to come naturally.
The best speeches are from the heart, right? Yeah. And I think commentating, I've learned, is the same way. Like I used to come with a notebook full of things that I wanted to say, and there was a point where you just put that back in your bag. You know, you're better when you're off the cuff, Dash. Okay, well, let's try that then, right? And so a little bit of that, and then it's a bit of how you describe the wrestlers in the ring in a positive way, no matter what, regardless of weaknesses, regardless of, right? Like my first event, I wasn't a heel commentator yet, and I said that Barak Gorani was the type of guy that smells like he looks. And it got a laugh, but I've regretted it after. And I'm like, why did I have to insult that guy? That and it was a learning moment, right? Like, oh, I said something off the cuff that I shouldn't have, because that's the smart ass in me. That's not doing anything for Bedat's character, but it's, you know, so those little things like that, where, you know, you don't call someone overweight or slow, you call them experienced and, you know their place in the ring. And, you know, someone isn't skinny, they're fast and they're wiry.
Yeah.
And, right. It's that little thing. So that was the process. Like, that was the eye-opening part for me, right? Where it's like, you know, this is everything we do is about painting that picture, and painting that picture should be about, you know, building these athletes up as much as we can.
Like, when I first started doing commentary, I mean, the first show I did, I did it by myself, which, let me tell you, is,
oh,
it's exhausting.
I don't think I could. Yeah.
Like, I had a guest commentator for a few matches, but it's tough because, like, you're calling it by yourself, and then all of a sudden you're bouncing stuff off someone else, and then they leave, you're doing it again by yourself. Mm-hmm. So that was the first time. The second time, I was very fortunate to have, I was doing commentary. Someone was doing I was doing play by play. Someone did the color, and their name's Tyler Colton, an incredible wrestler here in Winnipeg, Canadian Hercules. Mm-hmm. Guy is legit Manitoba's strongest man. So I was with him for the second time. And before we even met, I met up with him and I was like, you know, I just want to go over a few things because, like, I'd never met him before. I didn't want to just show up and, like, hey, sure, we got to do this. So, like, one of the first things I said to him was, like, I don't want to be a part of the show. I want to be from the outside. I want to be just calling it. Like, to me, I have no aspirations to step foot in that ring, to be a part of it in any way. I'm just here to help, you know, get what they're doing over. And I've been able to do a couple shows with him. And, like, each time, I think I've told him, I was like, I fucking love doing commentary with you because we have good back and forth. You can almost kind of, like, set things up for the other person, and you know that they're just going to knock it out of the park. And to be able to have that, it's not as easy as people think. And I think that's one of the big things with commentary is, like, it can be tough. So, I mean, even for yourself, like, mentioning the notebook, like, that's something, like, I still do. Like, I have a notebook, but it's more just, like, points just for myself to go over beforehand, you know, because anytime I do it, I'll talk to each wrestler. I'll say, like, is there anything you need me to get over for you? Because, like,
that's right.
If you have names for a finishing move, I want to know what they are so I can call them that. Yeah. I don't want to say, hey, it's a Death Valley driver onto the knee. If you have a name for it, oh, it's the knee VD. Cool. I want to make sure I call it that, you know, like, and it's funny. Oh, it's a great name. It's one of those things that it allows you to, like, I think, show to the, you know, the wrestlers involved, like, hey, I'm here to help put you over. And then also, like, it allows you to, like, it's a reflection of yourself, you know, like, that you're putting in.
Yeah. I mean, we're dealing with artists.
Yeah.
Ultimately, right? Like, this is a theater. And, you know, it's car crash theater, and there's a lot of athleticism, maybe more athleticism than theater, and it depends on the promotion. But the fact is, we're dealing with really creative people that have a vision, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, we have to be the ones that can portray that vision for them and accurately so that their story is told the proper way. So and again, that was a big part of the process, right? Is not realizing how many of them are going to come up to me and go, like, make sure you say something like this when we're coming out, right? And at the end of the match, we're going to have a hug, and make sure you watch my eyes because it's going to be Jack. It's not going to be Pride.
Yeah.
You know, so, and being able to cue those things for the audience, right? And it's incredible though. Like, it's been so fun, so fun. You said something about being able to call it by yourself. Like, I don't know how you and Boris could have ever done that. Color and play-by-play alone is incredibly different.
Yeah. Oh, you 100%.
Know, like, I have time to think where I can come up with a comment to, you know, supplement it or compliment what he said. But for you guys to always have to be on and, you know, not only watching the action in front of you, but be able to come up with it eloquently. And like you said, not be repeating yourself and saying the same words, and knowing that you've got to call it down with the thickness, not a blue thunder bomb, right? Like, all of that stuff is, and it's important, because if you miss that, the wrestlers get upset, right?
Mm-hmm. And
can get upset.
Like, you know, recently I did two night commentary, Friday, Saturday night. So right there, that was my entire weekend. You know, you're doing full shows and it's like by the end of it, you are exhausted, you know, like Friday night, I go home and I'm overthinking everything. Like, shit, did I not say enough to put this one guy over, you know, like,
totally, like, me too.
Fuck. It sucks because you dwell on that. And even though like,
totally,
you really shouldn't, you know, like, but it's a personal thing, you know?
Yeah. 2 months ago, it was the pen throw. Last month, I opened the show instead of saying we're looking down the barrel of our 19th straight sellout. Maybe you noticed, or certainly did, but as you know, I run a hockey podcast. So what did this guy say? We're looking down the barrel of our 19th straight shutout. Boris is like, where's the goalie, bro? You know,
close. We're close.
So I don't know. So it is what it is. But yeah, you're right, man. I went home that night. And of course, you know, you barely sleep that night. And of course, we've got the back-to-back shows. I don't know WPW well enough to know how you guys lay it out. I know you got a big one coming up with Matt Cordona. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, having the Thursday night show, you know, for us, we set up the ring on Wednesday nights and I try to not miss ring crew. So we're there till midnight or one in the morning because we can't start till the rec room employees shut everything down.
Yeah.
Right. We can't be running steel posts and ropes and everything through the middle of the restaurant. So everything starts at, you know, 11 or 11:30 PM. We get done at 2 a.m. So you're already, I got to work on Friday. I got a shoot job. Mm-hmm. Or Thursday, pardon me, right? And then Thursday is a full day at work. Then you got to be at the rec room right after work for when the doors open and bell call. And like you just said, work all the wrestlers and make sure you know everything that's going to need to be done and said. And by the time it's all said and done, it goes fast though, man. I tell you, opening bell to closing bell, there's sometimes I'll just blink and go, really, tonight's over? Like, what just happened? Mm-hmm. But maybe that's the wrestling fan in me too. Let me ask you a question on your podcast. Sure. Do you ever get caught like just absolutely fanboying in the middle of a match where you're just like, oh, right, I'm commentating, and you just get caught up in it? Like, maybe not because you're play-by-play, but...
When I first did it, I noticed it. The first time I did it, like, I caught myself watching, you know? And then I also caught myself talking too much, like, always saying something. And I think that's part of the thing of, like, just the one person on commentary. Like, if you're adding in, like, you know, you're calling the matches, but then you're also adding in the tidbits, the color, and all that sort of stuff. So it... You have to let the match breathe a little bit and not just be talking. So like the first, you know, time, I think like I caught myself watching a little bit too much, but then after that, like, I know, like, hey, you just have to talk about what you're seeing in the ring, and like, you don't get to enjoy the matches that much as much because you're working, you know, like it's different than
totally.
If I'm in the crowd watching.
So. I totally get that the same way. And what happened was, they brought Larry in for commentary for the main event at the last show. And of course, like I mentioned, Rich has been a good friend of mine for a long time. I also train at Clandestine. So my savior is wrestling my trainer, and I actually got to leave the table and be a fan for that match, which was actually really, really cool.
Yeah.
It was really cool. I was told it was going to be 3-man commentary. So I was getting ready to, you know, chirp Larry a little bit and ask him how the hell he's, you know, can live with his broken arm all the time. But you're just like, get off the mic, we only got two. Oh, all right. And it was like, Nate, what, come on. And then a moment sunk in, I'm like, no, this is gonna be fantastic, actually. And it was a really, really good match. I thought that was I was really proud of Rich. I gave him a big hug after. Like, he hung in there with the best in Canada, as far as I'm concerned. Well, I don't know, Speedball, man, but I think Speedball's the best in the world. So I'm going to call MRB the best in Canada. And Rich didn't look out of place for a second, man. He took it to the limit. He didn't miss a spot. He was fantastic. Really, really good.
Like you mentioned being a fan before, you know, getting involved with it, like being a lifelong fan. What, like, everyone kind of got into wrestling from a different era. When was yours that you started watching?
I don't want to tell you how old I am. So
that's okay. I'm probably older, so it's okay.
I don't know. And so I might give it away, but you know what? I probably became a wrestling fan later than these events happened. And that's just not a built-in alibi. But the reason is if you think you're anywhere close to as old as me, you'll remember that the only way that we could view these things back in the day were on a VHS. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe people don't even know what that is anymore. But we had to go to Blockbuster Video and figure out which one was there next. You know, there wasn't any streaming. There wasn't any internet that you could go on and just pull them up whenever you wanted. And so I became a fan because the family would go to Blockbuster and go and get a bunch of videos and rent them for the week. And my picks were always whatever wrestling video I hadn't seen yet that was there, because I would love to go and do that by myself. And I'm a really empathic person. So I think like I'm that guy that cries during commercials and during America's Got Talent, because these people are living out their dreams. And I couldn't watch wrestling without fans in it, right? During COVID, like it just was nothing to me. I need that energy from the crowd to enjoy it. And so I just would go and sit by myself in my room and watch these, you know, SummerSlams and WrestleManias. And what the first one was, I can't really tell you. I do know that I was absolutely in love with Hulk Hogan like everybody else was. I do remember crying when he lost to Bob Orton. I remember crying when he, you know, like it was real to me, right? There was nothing predetermined about it. And then when I got into my teen years, you know, like everybody else, you kind of get your priorities. But then wrestling kind of stayed silly for a while there, right? When I was in my other priorities, like, you know, socializing, and I ended up playing junior hockey. So like hockey and sports became a priority for me. And then as a young adult, I just started like remembering how much I loved it, and the Attitude Era came, and then I fell back in love with it again during the Monday Night Wars. And, you know, like I've drifted in and out, but like the last probably 10 to 15 years, you'll never get me out of it again. Like I've fallen right back in love. And what really hit it for me again was meeting a few people in the local area and starting to go out to the local shows. And
yeah,
that was honestly like WWE is what it is. And I'm at a point now in my wrestling fandom, like it's just too polished and it's too scripted, and I enjoy it and I follow it and I know what the storylines are, but mm-hmm. I'm not that guy that sits down and watches 7 hours of WWE every week.
Nope.
You know, I like that AEW has a bit of recklessness to it. I like that it has a bit of, it's like watching junior hockey versus NHL. Right? Like there's a perfect system being played in the NHL. Everybody's in the right place at the wrong time. I don't mind going and watching an 8-1 junior game, mm-hmm. you know, or something where there's mistakes made and 3-on-1s all the time. And so, yeah, I just started to kind of feel that. And, you know, when it comes to local wrestling, you know, when you go to a PWA event over and over again at Nate, or you go to Monster Pro Wrestling at the Legion or RCW at the Legion, like you become intimate with that crowd. You start to know the regulars and you start to feel comfortable there. And, you know, it's like a family atmosphere almost in a lot of ways with the different promotions. And, you know, like Judge Ben Omen is the similar ways, you know, just still to this day goes to every single Edmonton wrestling event he can, no matter whose promotion it is. And I kind of admire that. And so that's kind of what really brought me back into it. And, mm-hmm. you know, I know a lot about the local scene, but not necessarily a lot about what's going on in pro wrestling, right? Like I follow WWE and AEW and TNA, but I know way more about what's going on around here.
Yeah. The one thing, like we are in a time now where there is so much, whether it's local WWE, AEW, like you can, like you go online and any given day you will see people complain about professional wrestling. And I want these people to realize that it doesn't matter what you don't like. It matters what you do like. That's what you should be appreciating more than anything, because it's so easy just to bitch and complain about what another company is doing or what you don't like, but like, fuck, just celebrate what's good out there. And that's what I feel like gets forgotten nowadays when it comes to wrestling.
If you don't like light tubes being smashed on people's heads, then don't watch it.
No.
You know, I mean, there's so much selection out there, especially if you're a true wrestling fan and have an extra $10 a month and don't have IWTV, then what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
Just thousands and thousands of hours of find your flavor. Yeah. Maybe it's not Love Pro Wrestling. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's Game Changer. Maybe it's whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. But like, there's so much out there to see that. Yeah. And that's, you know, like I'll gravitate more to a Game Changer over a TNA. Like I find like TNA is just AEW light a little bit. Right. And it's just, I don't know. It has this little bit of a thing going recently where, like I said, I love wrestling that's perfectly imperfect.
Because on Four Exposure, I mean, we talk independent wrestling, and the thing is, just because we're talking independent wrestling doesn't mean I'm sitting down to watch a GCW show from beginning to end, because there's stuff on there that like I have zero interest in watching. So it doesn't get watched. I'll watch what I like, what I want to support. Yeah. And it makes things so much more easier, because if I'm sitting there and watching 30 minutes of wrestling that I'm just going to shit on, then like, if I'm a listener, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear like good stuff, you know, like tell me what I should be seeking out. So
I
know where you're coming from with that.
It's funny with the sports I'm really passionate about. I have my teams and my, you know, I'm a diehard Oilers fan and what have you. But other than that, if I'm not really super passionate about it, I actually just follow people and follow the athletes, right? Like I've always loved, you know, Vladimir Guerrero, no matter whether he went was the Expos or whether it was the Angels or whatever. If it was the NFL, I used to love Donovan McNabb. And before then it was, you know, Thurman Thomas and Bo Jackson and all these like athletes that I just, no matter where they went, that was my favorite team at the time, Larry Fitzgerald, right? And wrestling's kind of like that, because you can't really cheer for a diehard team, you know, or you could cheer for a faction, but they're just getting broken up anyways. So I've always just followed the wrestlers that I've really liked. And so, you know, like I've seen so many Jericho matches and, you know, try to, no matter where he went, made sure I watched, right? And like, I was, I'm sure one of the, you know, I just was, couldn't wait for that Omega Jericho when they first, like right at the precipice of AEW there before it all launched. And that was a huge, huge thing. And I've like followed Speedball, and I always make sure that I watch Speedball's matches. And I mean, how can't you? I used to call him the best wrestler in Canada for so long that I can't even justify it anymore, because I don't know how he isn't potentially the best wrestler in the world.
Yeah, like he's someone who could easily be up for Wrestler of the Year conversations. When you look at his body of work, it might not be on a grander scale, but like any given WrestleMania weekend, he's having five or six potential match of the nights.
And match of the year, dude.
And it's on the same day, you know? So
yeah, back-to-back TNA match of the year, right? Yeah. Like that match with Will Ospreay was off the fucking charts, bro. Like it was unreal. I think I've watched that thing like three times in preparing for Speedball coming this month, right? Like it's just unbelievable to see what he can do, and no matter what role he's put in, and like the fact that he will not call anything in the ring whatsoever. Unbelievable. He's so good. So good.
So, I mean, you mentioned, I mean, being an Oilers fan, you've got the podcast and everything. Have you always been a lifelong Oilers fan?
Yeah, it was one of those things where I grew up in Alberta in the 80s. So you either got on the wagon or fell far, far off of it. And you know, we were winning cups right, left and center, as I'm sure you people in Winnipeg remember. And yeah, it's just been that. So I've right from the start through their decade of darkness, and here I am back doing it. So yeah, lifelong Oilers fan for sure.
I mean, just because I like live in Winnipeg, like I've never been a Jets fan. Like,
oh wow. Okay.
Growing up, yeah, I was a Quebec Nordiques fan because I loved Joe Sakic. I thought he was the fucking best, too. You know, like early 90s. He's putting up 104 points or whatever on like a team that gets 12 wins, you know, like unheard of nowadays. Yeah. Like the Blackhawks, there's nobody on that team putting up over 100 points, and they're going to get like 20 wins, you know? So like he was a special player. So it was like Quebec, then Colorado. And then I became a Leafs fan for some strange reason. It's fine. We have our regular season success, and that's what we live on now. So
that's all you'll ever get.
It is what it is. So that's fine. I mean, you know, you haven't won a cup in years either, so it's okay.
No, it's true. It's true. There's this saying that goes around Edmonton though, that did you know that the Leafs have never, ever been past the third round ever? Just saying.
Shut up.
Because even when they won the cup, there was only three rounds.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's a good time. It's a good time. You know, there's a huge, I don't know, is it like that with Leafs fans? Like, do you guys really dislike the Oilers now? Like, feel it in Edmonton. Like, there's this hate, but it's just like so much of like heat seekers from Toronto saying McDavid's coming home and screw you guys for taking our kid away from us. And
no, I mean, for me, like, because I used to be a lot more, the first round exits did a number on me as a fan.
Yeah.
Because it was the year where they played Montreal first round. And I think they were up 3-1. And then you just saw them stop playing the way that got them those three victories. And after that point, like, it did a number on me just checking out as a fan. Like, I still I'll watch games. They're my team, but like, it's no longer, I have to watch every game. Like, it's, I'm not going to buy new jerseys every year. Like, it's just like, yeah, they're my team, but like, do something. And then I'll get back into this full bore. So like, for me, I like the rivalries with Ottawa and Montreal, those are the ones that mean more to me. Or like Boston, you know, like Boston, people will say like, oh, Toronto and Edmonton. It's like, to me, that's not a rivalry. Edmonton, Calgary is a rivalry. Toronto, Edmonton, that's just two teams, you know? So it's the same with like Toronto and Winnipeg. I don't care about the Jets, you know? So
interesting. Very fair. Yeah. Yeah, that Edmonton-Calgary rivalry runs deep for sure. I'll never forget being in Las Vegas watching the Knights versus the Oilers, and the chant was, let's go Oilers, Calgary sucks.
Really?
Oh, yeah, they'll represent that Calgary sucks part of that chant everywhere and anywhere they'll hear us. Mm-hmm. Was that the year that you guys lost to Montreal in the first round? Was that the year where Yaroslav Halak went on that heater with Price hurt and then beat Crosby in the next round and then Ovechkin in the next round?
No, this was the COVID. It was 2021, I think it was.
Yes. Well, there's, that first round exit from the
Leafs. Yeah, because 2020, when everything started coming back in, it was, they played Columbus first round and lost the Jackets. Then the next year it was Montreal. Tavares got hurt game one, and you know, they lost that one, went up 3-1, and then Wayne Simmons stopped playing how he could. They stopped hitting. They stopped doing all those things that got them those three victories, and they just fell apart like a cheap suit, and it was so disheartening. So it's tough being a Leaf fan.
Yeah, fell apart like a suit from Thaddeus Archer III.
So, but it's, I mean, I know tonight Leafs and Oilers are playing, and we're like, people are going to be listening for this. We'll have already recorded the four exposure preview of LPW. The Oilers and Leafs will already have played, but if they haven't, I mean, or if, you know, people are listening now, we're still waiting for Zach Hyman to get his 50th goal, which chances are it's going to happen tonight against the Leafs.
It's just got to be karma. In fact, I almost wonder if they were talking about it, because he's been all over it lately. And whenever Connor and Leon want to get somebody some points, it happens. Like last year, oh, Nuge might get 100. Okay, let's get Nuge 100. You know, the year before that, oh, Leon's getting close to 50. Wow, let's get Leon 50. You know, last year, oh, Connor's getting close to 60. Wow, let's get Connor 60.
Yeah.
And now this year that he's, like, I think he needed 6 goals with 4 games before the Leafs. And it's been like one goal, 2 goals. And now it's the Leafs game or something. So, like, they were clearly, you know, I think looking to try to do it tonight if they could.
Like, after we record, I'm going to put $10 on Zach Hyman getting a hat trick tonight, just because that is what probably will happen. Because, like,
get the empty netter too.
Yeah. Or at least to get like 1+ goals tonight, you know? Like, I figure that's like a
no-brainer.
It's a given playing against the Leafs.
I wouldn't disagree.
So we're recording this before LPW 24. If you want to hear a full preview of that, go up onto YouTube. Watch the most recent episode of For Exposure. You will find out a full preview. But I will ask you the match you're most looking forward to on this show.
It's almost always the scramble match.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just love the, I mean, I've said this before and we talked about saying the same thing over and over again, but that car crash theater, man, that's the type of wrestling I love. And there's so many moving parts to those matches, and, you know, there's stuff going on everywhere. You know, everybody's going to bring it, because that's kind of one of the showcase matches every single month. And let's be honest, my favorite wrestler is Jack Pride by a country mile. So and he seems to always be in one of those matches, although he will not this month. No. But yeah, it's probably the Scrabble match.
Okay. That's fair. All right. Now we have to get ready to go do For Exposure coming up shortly, which you and Boris will be our guests this week or this past week. But I always give, two things first. I always ask for a match recommendation from my guests. So one that you're personally a fan of, and it can be anything, WWE, Indies, New Japan, whatever it is, just a match you're a fan of that you think the listener should go check out.
Well, can I do a little self-promotion in that then, I think? Because, like, I'm going to tie two things together.
Sure.
When I asked you earlier if you ever get caught watching, the hardest I ever got caught, I think, was during a match where two of my absolute diehard favorites around here as well were... So now this was, I think, my third opportunity doing commentary with Love Pro Wrestling. So I hadn't taken on my heel persona yet, if you will. And I don't know if you want to call me a true, true heel commentator. I do like to cheer for the bad guys and whatever, but it's not like, you know, Boris and I sit there and fight. But there was a match, and every year they do an event called Face Off, and it's in Sherwood Park in the parking lot outside of the Sherwood Park Crusaders Arena. So, okay, look, there's a whole lot of self-plug and self-love here, but it's in Sherwood Park. It's outside of my favorite junior hockey team's rink. I'm doing it with Boris. We're calling it outside. It's unique because it's being called outside. It's between Mars the Specialist and Son of Irish.
Okay.
And honestly, if I could do two, if that's allowed.
You betcha.
Do yourself a favor and watch the MRB and T.Y. Jackson match from that event. Mm-hmm. Because what happened is, like, there was some sort of minor hockey tournament going on. And, you know, the first match of the night had 7 or 8 fans. And then all of a sudden it had 20 fans. By the time those third and fourth match came, there must have been like 150 kids between the age of 7 and 12, which just spells rowdy, right? So T.Y. Jackson's full heel, absolutely like just chirping the fans and, you know, your mom is this, and just riling them right up. And then MRB holds his arms behind his back and lets all these kids line up and chop T.Y. one by one. There's like a chop line. And then the Mars Son of Iris match, like those two guys can bang, man. Like they're so good. They've been in wrestling for what, like 3 years each. They're both under 23 years old. Here, Boris and I are in our mid 40s, and these two guys' age combined doesn't equal what ours is. And that was the one match where I got caught watching. There was so many spots where I was just like mesmerized and all of a sudden like, oh, right, I got to call this thing.
Yeah.
I got to say something about that. So I know it's a little bit self-promoting, but for me, it's that.
Now, for those listening, I mean, here's a chance for you to plug all of your ventures, your social media, because, I mean, I know you got the podcast. I know you got the Twitters and all that. So have at her and let them know where they can find you.
I appreciate that. At Dash in the Park on X, at Dash Park on Facebook and Instagram. Our network is the Heavy Hockey Network. We've got a whole pile of articles around topics around the NHL, but mostly focused on the Oilers. We've got 3 or 4 really good podcasts, like top 50 in Canada ranking podcasts. Ours, Oilers Live, another one called the Fantasy Hockey Hacks, if you like your fantasy hockey, as well as 99 Forever and a few others that are doing very well. So you can find all of our material on heavyhockey.com, or you can go to our YouTube page, which is at YouTube/heavyhockey. And if you're there, please subscribe.
Perfect. Dash, thank you so much for joining me. I truly appreciate it. It was a pleasure.
I had to beg you for a long, long time for you to finally let me on here. So, you know, I appreciate you not making me beg and actually asking this time. No, I'm just kidding. No, I know we've been talking about it for a while. Very much looking forward to it. Before we sign off, I honestly, with all my heart, for your fans, your listeners, you've been amazing to me, Blair. You really have. You, right, you know, you didn't even know me. I was just a guy on social media to you at one point where I started calling a match out of nowhere. And, you know, that first time you came to Edmonton and sat down and called a match and we got to know each other, I knew we were going to hit it off. And you've been so gracious and so good with your feedback. And I've learned a lot from you. And I enjoy listening to your matches now, too. So don't think I haven't been going and listening.
I appreciate
the whole kit and caboodle. The whole kit and caboodle.
Thank you so much to Dash, and thank you for checking out the podcast. I say it every time. I will always say it. I truly appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to me talk about wrestling. If it's your first time listening, you can find me up on all social media, Graymaker Wrestling Podcast, up on all podcast streaming platforms, email graymakerpodcast@gmail.com. And you can find me every Saturday doing 4 exposure with my good friend Pluggo as we take a look at the world of independent wrestling. That's up on Love Wrestling. So stay tuned, because some of the times bounce around once in a while, but it's almost always on Saturdays. We have shoot jobs too, you know? Sometimes life happens. But thanks again for checking out the podcast. We'll talk soon.